Good point. So what happened?
Well, being in August of 2005 and not December of 2005, in talking with the cardiologist and getting his assurance that he thought that she could go through this, we proceeded with AC and we did dose-dense AC. And she did have some complications of dehydration, fatigue. She became a little anemic. She got growth factor support. She had some hypotension and tachycardia. She got into a third and fourth cycle. And honestly, it was difficult because I had to, like, push the cardiologist to help me get more involved with this. He was taking more of a laid-back approach. At the completion of her AC, her ejection fraction was 60% by echo. She had some lower extremity edema. She had a tachycardia of about 113 at rest. Her peak gradient was 55 millimeters of mercury. The aortic valve area was the same at that point.
Still going ahead with trastuzumab, Dr. Steingart?
No.
Is that right based on what you just heard?
Yeah. Can you talk? I would do a BNP. I would start wondering why this woman is tachycardic and look for occult congestive heart failure.
Again, in spite of the normal ejection fraction.
In spite of the normal.
Right.
Fraction.
So what happened?
This woman was very motivated to be as aggressive as possible. She was not going to take a substitute. So she went ahead with the Taxol. We started that in January. I didn't start the Herceptin until the third Taxol. I wanted to get her a little further out from her AC before we did that. And she was seen by radiation oncology. All her port films were reviewed, and she knew that she needed to have a mastectomy. So we were trying to get in the planning for that. She was using diuretics and getting through her Taxol. And in March, she started developing some increasing dyspnea and some intermittent wheezing. Her 11th Herceptin was given on 426. And again, we were working closely with the cardiologist. I talked about stopping the Herceptin and couldn't really get her to agree with that as long as the cardiologist was working with her and treating her. She had an echo done in April that showed MR. It showed an ejection fraction of 45%, so she had dropped. So this was the first one after her trastuzumab. She, at this point, switched cardiologists and went to another cardiologist, which is when this echo was done showing the change and showing that there had been a change with the drop in the ejection fraction. She was admitted in May for a cardiac cath. And she had 20% obstruction of the left circumflex and LAD. Her aortic valve area had now dropped to 0.5 cm. Her peak AV gradient was 45. Her ejection fraction had dropped to 35%. And so she was urgently planned for an AVR and not to get out of the hospital. She then had a cardiac arrest in the hospital. She was being monitored. The rest lasted 45 minutes. She had EMD, and she came out of it with minimal neurologic defect other than some amnesia for the event.
That's good.
She's lucky.
Very lucky. She underwent AVR with reconstruction of the aortic root. She had post-hospital rehab. She's on Coumadin, Aldactone, Lasix, Glyburide, Zocor, Coreg, Protonix, and a baby aspirin. And her echo in June, a month after the procedure, showed an LVEF of 55%. She had ongoing problems with pleural effusions. Echo in September showed an ejection fraction of 65%. And she still wanted me to come back. She said, why can't I have more Herceptin? And I said, no.
Because she doesn't need it.
Right.
How much Herceptin did she end up getting?
She had 11 doses.
And 11 weekly doses?
Weekly dosing, yeah. And she had a right modified radical mastectomy a few weeks ago with residual DCIS and microinvasive disease and no perioperative complications at all.
Dr. Steinberg, can you comment on what happened there, what your thoughts are?
I was going to say that it's likely that if there were toxicity from the Herceptin, it's likely that there would be improvement if it were withdrawn soon after the abnormalities were noted. But I don't think that one walks away from such an event unscathed. I think as a consequence of everything that happened, there's more remodeling to that ventricle, there's more fibrosis in that ventricle than there was before all those events happened, even though the ejection fraction looks like it's the same as it was. And you have to balance that against the presumed benefit that she received from the combined chemotherapy. And I don't know the answer to that question, but my sense is strongly that ventricular function has been made worse by this and that this woman is at high risk. Hopefully she'll have a long survival, very high risk for the development of clinically important congestive heart failure going forward. Yeah.
Barbara?
In patients who've had longstanding aortic stenosis or mixed AI, AS, is there a reversible component to their ventricular dysfunction? In other words, when you fix that mechanical problem, does their ventricle get better or is there permanent damage from the pre-existing?
There is permanent damage. It's a matter of whether or not it ever rises to the level of being clinically important. And one would hope that with that ejection fraction that's being measured now, that it will not rise to the level of being clinically important. But on a pathological examination, this would be a grossly abnormal heart, despite this normal ejection fraction.